Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today. Been in this series called Unshaken. We've been talking about different things in our life that all of us go through at some point in time. We talked about fear. We talked about last couple weeks, we talked about loss and grief, how all of us have went through some sort of loss in our life, I'm sure, some sort of grieving stage, and how there actually can be beauty that comes from ashes, that the Lord can turn things around for the good of those loved and called according to his purpose, right? We talked about that for a couple weeks. We talked about pressure. We talked about weariness and being unshaken spiritually and all those things. And today, I want to continue with this series we have this week and one more week. And then Apostle Robert, my dad, he's going to be with us the next Sunday, and he's going to preach whatever he feels the Lord puts on his heart to preach to our body. But I want to finish this series out for the next couple weeks. And I know as we're going into the Christmas season, I really felt this kind of on my heart to bring to you. And today, I want to talk to you about being unshaken in the unknown. Being unshaken in the unknown. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Whenever your situation feels unclear, whenever your path feels a little bit foggy, when the timing feels off, whenever the plan maybe feels hidden from you, or life looks different than what you expected it to look right now, or maybe there's a lot of unknown and unexpected things that have been taking place around you, and you are looking around saying, God, what in the actual world is going on? God, what is happening right now? God, where are you? How can you be? How can I be in an unknown place and you be nowhere? But I want to encourage us today, and I don't have this today on the screen or anything like that, but I had this thought today that we have to make space for God in the middle of nowhere. Whenever you feel like you are in the unknown, and I'm going to bring it back at the end, I promise you. But whenever you feel like you are in the middle of nowhere, in an unknown place, nowhere, you have to make space for God to move. And this is the thing, this is just a fun thing for you, okay? Think about it. When you split the word nowhere, as close to the center as you can, because it's an odd-lettered word, it goes from nowhere to what? Now here. When you make space for God to move in the midst of nowhere, he is drawn to you, and now he is here. Bring this to you today that I want you to know this. This is going to be the anchor for this message, and we'll come back at the very end. These two thoughts of whenever you make space for God in nowhere, he's now here. That's the first one. But then the second thing is going to be this at the end. We'll come back to this, is that you are known in the unknown. I'm going to say this again. You are known in the unknown. Just because an unknown thing is happening doesn't mean that God doesn't know you and know where you are at right now. Are you in Matthew 1, 18 through 25 is where we're going to read today, a very familiar passage here of scripture that we're going to read here in just a moment. But the unknown, hear me today, is not where your faith dies. The unknown is where your faith is defined. I know it's shaking. Trust me, whenever you are going through things that feel like, where does this end? What is the end of this? Where is this leading to? I feel like I'm going through hell right now. I feel like I'm going through the valley right now. I feel like I'm going through frustration and there's no end in sight. Listen, I've been there before. People around you have been there before. You are not alone. There is a place that God has prepared for you and bringing you to, but we have to know, what do we do now? What do we do in the midst of nowhere? And what do we do in the midst of the unknown circumstances? Matthew 1, 18 through 25 says this. I'm reading from the NKJV this morning. It says this: Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, which means had more intimate, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, we're going to come back to that, do not be afraid to take to, uh, take to, Take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Stop right there. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word today. Lord, let it be revelation and let it be life for us today. Let our ears be open to hear your word with understanding. Holy Spirit, I ask that you anoint my tongue as a ready and skillful writer to speak what you want spoken this morning for those that are in the room. Holy Ghost, I ask that you speak today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hear me today. First thing I want you to write down is this, that the unknown does not confuse you, it confronts you. The unknown does not confuse you, it confronts you. Meaning this, Joseph's entire world flips in one sentence. Mary's pregnant. This whole that literally flips the whole thing right there, because he's never been with her in that way. He's betrothed to her. However, she's pregnant. And man, I like to think about this sometimes in the way of, anybody ever watch Mari Povich growing up? Huh? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I like to think about this idea that Joseph's like, we're going to Mari right now. What? Because if you actually read the scripture, it says right here, he says that being a just man, and not want to make a public example of him, wanted to put her away secretly. Wanted to basically say, I can't be near that because I am not the father, okay? Like, there's no explanation. There's no clarity. There's no warning. Think about this. There's prophecies, yes. He's her, I'm sure, the prophecies that are going to be fulfilled. But then he all of a sudden realizes, Mary's pregnant. What? Wasn't me. We didn't do it in the stable. It wasn't me. Okay. Got to have a little bit of fun in the house of the Lord, okay? Not everything being... Joseph feels the weight of this unknown hit him all at once. His future is threatened. His reputation is threatened in this moment. His relationship is threatened in this moment. His righteousness is being questioned in this moment. And guess what? His community is going to talk about him. His friends are probably going to say some words about him. There's probably people that are going, did you hear the one about Mary and Joseph? Yeah, I heard it too. Some things took place. Now Mary's pregnant. No, hear me. You see, and y'all go, well, that's not a big deal. That happens all the time. Read scripture. Okay? Read scripture. Because the time Joseph lived in this culture, a betrothal was legally binding. It was more serious than a modern engagement that we have today, which we just use flippantly because we go, oh, yeah, we use marriage flippantly. But that's a whole other conversation. But to end it, you didn't just walk away. You had to literally go through a formal separation. There had to be an actual formal separation that took place. So under the law, also this, if a betrothed woman turned up pregnant before she and her husband had been together, it was treated as adultery. And adultery, in that day, carried some serious consequences. The law of Moses allowed for public shame and even death by stoning in extreme cases. So we got to read scripture with this understanding that when Joseph gets this news, when Joseph finds out Mary's pregnant, he goes, oh no, this could be public shame even for me. This could change my life completely. I could be talked ill of. I could be shamed and all these things. It could bring deep reproach on me. Yeah, it's going to bring reproach on Mary as well. But man, even being connected to her, it can bring reproach on me and even my family. And so Joseph's not just a little confused. He's under a whole thing that feels like Mary might have betrayed him in the moment. But staying with her could cost him reputation, his standing, his future. He's in this limbo of the unknown. There's an unknown here. He's wrestling, and he starts planning for a quiet separation. For Joseph, in this moment, the unknown wasn't just uncomfortable, it felt dangerous. It felt like a dangerous place to be. And I know for some of you in this room, you've probably been in some of those places where the unknown feels dangerous, whether it's a diagnosis, whether it's a financial situation. Maybe you lost your job and you're in that unknown limbo situation. You're like, this feels dangerous for what is to come. This is, I think, a part that we probably don't talk about enough, is that the unknown does not just shake your plans. It can actually shake who you are. It can shake your very identity. Psychologists call this an identity threat. Not because someone hurt you, but because something happened that made you question who you are. Something so crazy and so severe took place that now you're questioning your even identity and who you are. So Joseph's unknown touches his identity as a man. So we got to think deeper. It touches his identity as a husband. It is unknown in his identity now. It's talking about his, as a provider, as a believer, as a righteous man, as a just man, as Scripture talks about. It's touching all those different areas of his life, and it is affecting him and affecting his identity. The truth is this, you have your identities. For some of you, the unknown looks like this, your relationships. Are we going to make it in our marriage? Why does this feel off always? Why are these things taking place? Maybe it's your family. How do I lead my home whenever I feel shaky? How do I leave my home whenever I don't feel secure? How do I leave my home whenever I have my own emotions and anger that I'm working through? How do I, maybe for you, it's your health. Why is my body doing this? What if it gets worse? These are unknowns that you start going through. Your finances, are we going to be okay? Your calling, God, is this working? Did I hear you right? Am I actually where I'm supposed to be? Am I doing the thing that you've called me to do right now? Maybe it's your unknown in your mental or emotional world. Why do I feel overwhelmed for no reason? Why do I feel like I'm drowning all the time? These are unknowns that sometimes we have. And then in our spiritual life is probably the place we find ourselves the most is, God, where are you in this? Where are you right now? Like, I'm going through all this crap. Where are you? And for many of you, the biggest unknown of all is simply, how long will this season last? How much longer I got to go through this? How much longer is this going to take? God, how much longer am I going through this season? Hear me. Joseph didn't face just the unknown. He faced the same kind of unknowns you do. The ones that touch your identity, the ones that affect your stability, the one that affects your future and how people even see you, how your life will pan out. And this is where many of us get lost mentally and spiritually, because hear me, write this truth down, is that the unknown often exposes what you trust. Think about that for a second. The unknown will often expose what you really trust. And the truth is this, if we're honest in this room, you trust yourself more than you trust God. I know you don't like that, but I'm right there with you at times. Because the truth is, our flesh knows what we can do in our strength, what we can do in our power. And so we go to what's comfortable, what we feel like we can trust, and we feel like we can trust ourselves. So what do? When the unknown gets loud, when we find ourselves in an unknown situation, what do? We take control. We try to dictate the next outcome or what the main outcome is going to be. We try to dictate what's going to happen next by whatever that looks like. We try to put our hands into it. And oftentimes what happens next is we will make more of a mess than we will actually bring us to the place that God has for us. We see this verse 19. It says he was minded to put her away secretly. So Joseph starts thinking, I gotta make a plan. How do I get rid of her? I'm a just man. I don't want to make a spectacle of her. I don't want to embarrass her. But at the same time, I got to find a way to separate myself from this. So immediately Joseph starts to try to put his hands into it, fix it. He's saying, I'm done. I'm out. I'm fixing this myself. I'm taking it in my own hands. I'm choosing the outcome I can control. Joseph is not trying to be sinful, which most of the time, let's be honest, when you are putting your hands into your issues and your problems and your unknowns, you're not trying to be sinful. You're not trying to do anything wrong and sinful, but what you are trying to do is survive the unknown. You're trying to just survive that moment. And this is what we do often. This is how that looks like for us. We withdraw. Oftentimes we shut down. We emotionally separate. We isolate ourselves. We plan exits God did not plan. Here's one that all of us probably do. We create outcomes out of fear. We attempt to protect our reputation. We take control because we don't trust what we can't see. So Joseph is about to leave the very thing God called him to, not because he's wicked, but because he's overwhelmed. And if you're not careful, you will allow your, when you feel overwhelmed, to lean into your flesh so much that, hear me, I'm about to say this, unintentionally, you are stepping into, or let's say this, you are stepping out of the will of God and into your own will, which will not bring good results. There's a way that seems right to a man, but ends in destruction, is what Scripture tells us. So oftentimes, hear me, whenever you think you know the answer, you probably don't. So you should probably pray about it again, think about it again before you take those next steps. So he's not trying to do anything wicked, but he's overwhelmed. You normally don't leave calling because you want out. You leave the unknown moments because you're panicking. You're freaking out. You're trying to put everything together. You're trying to take care of everything. And the unknown often tempts us to take control of what God is trying to lead us into. Anybody travel much in here? I have to use my GPS in Crestview. Okay. I've been living here for 5 years. And I still at times I'm like, I don't know where that is. So I got to put it in my GPS. But, you know, we'll travel sometimes, Pastor Chelsea and I. And I can remember one time we were traveling, I believe we were driving to Miami for something, probably for a vacation to hop on a big cruise boat and enjoy family time. I think it was this, but we were driving and I can remember looking at the GPS and it had me like in the water. Anybody ever had their GPS just like put them in a random place where like, that's not where, I'm literally on a road. Stop gaslighting me, GPS. And it's like, it just keeps going and it's like, yeah, you just keep going straight. You're like, I know this is not right. There's no way this is right. I feel like I'm in the unknown right now. Your GPS freezes though, and you're moving and you're moving, but the direction stops updating. Anybody ever been there? Listen, I drive back from Destin sometimes. I'm like, I got no signal right here. This can't be the fastest way right now. I try to put it back in, and it doesn't get. So then what happens often is we do this. Maybe you've never done this. This is what men, you're probably more prone to do this. You just start taking turns. You're driving around town, you're like in a city area, and it stops updating. You're like, this feels right. And you just take a left turn, and like, this feels right. Take a right turn, and you end up right back where you were. I actually did that one time. This is a true story. Pastor Chelsea and I, we went to Mobile for just an overnight trip, just us two. And we're trying to get to downtown Mobile. And at the time, they were doing all kind of road construction. And I tell you what, I got so fed up on my GPS because it was like, because it wasn't taking into account that half the roads were closed. So I was like, I guess I'm just going to have to do this myself. Thinking I am like very, very directionally inclined and I'm the opposite. And I was like, all right, we're just going to. And I promise you, we did the same exact turns. I think two or three times all the way around the block back. All like, what is going on? Because the GPS froze and it can't actually update. I think this is often where we find ourselves. Whenever we feel like we are in the unknown and the GPS freezes, what do? We'll just take turns. We'll find the way. One way or the other, we're going to find the way. And we'll start planning turns that God never told us to take. We'll start grabbing at relationships. We'll start grabbing an opportunity that we are not ready for. We will start pushing on doors that God is that are securely barred. We will start trying to step into territories that God does not want us to be in right now. And we'll talk some about that in just a second, but I believe that we'll go and go into this. I believe that God sometimes interrupts the plans that we make out of fear. I believe he's such a good God that sometimes whenever we're making stupid decisions, because you do it, we make dumb decisions, God loves us so much that in his mercy, he interrupts and is like, dude, you're making some wrong decisions, bro. Get back on path. Because I'm telling you, where you're going right now is going to lead to destruction. And I'm trying to help you, gently nudge you. Like, well, God, why don't you just make the way clear then? Well, you know what? That would get rid of faith, wouldn't it? See, some of us, we don't want faith. We want faith, but we don't want faith. We want to be faith people who are believing in faith and all these things. But whenever actually rubber meets the road of actually living out a faith life, you want nothing to do with it. Because faith is trusting even in the unknown. Faith is even whenever I don't see it, I still believe it. This is why we have to be careful that we guard our hearts from trying to explain everything and having to have an explanation for every single little thing that happens in our life, because where that leads you to is taking turns that you are never meant to turn, going down roads you are never meant to go down. Trust and believe. Have faith. Hear me. Without faith, we talk about this often in this church, without faith, it is impossible to please God, is what Scripture says. So listen, if you want to please God, if you want a heart, if you want to be a person after God's own heart, listen, then you got to have some faith even in the midst of the unknown, and be thankful whenever God comes in when you're making stupid decisions and goes, bro, get back on path. Here's a gentle nudge. I'm going to push you back into the right direction. So think about this. Verse 20, it says, while he thought about these things, so he's thinking about making this plan. Joseph's thinking about making this plan. Let's come back to the scripture. 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. He already made some sort of plan. But while he thought about these things, what's say next? After he thought about these things, what happens next? Behold, an angel of the Lord appears to him. God interrupts right there. As Joseph's making stupid decisions that are outside the will of God, behold, an angel of the Lord appears and speaks to him, brings revelation to him. That means Joseph was already planning his exit. He may have been going to do the next steps. We don't even know. He may have had all his bags, but you know, I can just imagine for a second. See, I'm a person, whenever I read the Bible, I like to put myself in the character for a moment. And I like to think, like, if I had to go to my wife with such conversation, I'd be like, okay, Micah, you got this. You know, you rehearse the conversation like 19 times. It's not me. It's not you. It's me, baby. Like, it's right. I don't know. I'm not the father. Joseph's finally like, okay, I got this. Joseph, son of David. Because Joseph's going to make a stupid decision, and the angel of the Lord shows up and says, hold on. No. That's not what you're supposed to do. Hear me. Write this down. It's not on the screen. I want you to write this down. Some of the greatest mercies in your life were the doors God refused to let you walk through. We want mercies new every morning because we like to sin. Well, thank you. My wife was the only one who responded this morning. We want, oh, his mercies are new every morning. Yeah, because you want to use that as an excuse to sin again. But what if his mercies being new every morning is whenever you make stupid decisions, he still keeps the door shut? What if out of his mercy, he begins to shut doors that you're never meant to go through? I believe that's one of the greatest mercies in your life that you'll receive, are doors that God refuses to let you walk through, where he interjects, when he interrupts. And hear me today, I will say this, you push on a door hard enough, he'll let you go through it. You have what's called free will, okay? I believe in a God who sees all, knows all, hears all, omnipresent, omniscient, all these things, okay? I believe also, though, that God gave to his people free will. So you push on doors hard enough, yeah, you can go through them. Doesn't mean you're in his will. Sometimes we need to accept a no as a no. You know what's interesting? And I don't have this in my notes, but when I was studying it, you'll find for the rest of the story, Joseph doesn't say anything. You know what he lets speak? His obedience. He lets his obedience speak. And I think that we need to be people that just say, whenever God, if you say no, okay. All right. I'm going to keep obeying right here. Wherever I'm at, I'm going to obey. I'm going to keep obeying right in this place. God will often, though, speak to you right before you step in the wrong direction. Now, let me give you practically what that can look like for you. Husbands, it can look like your wife. It can look like your wife saying, no, we don't need to do that, baby.
Well, husband's supposed to lead the household.
Okay. Keep going with that. See how it goes for you. Because pride comes before a fall. There's a thing in Scripture, if you actually read Scripture, the fullness of Scripture, and understand Scripture, called mutual submission. So, yeah, you have to take responsibility for your household. But in a marriage, a healthy marriage, there's a mutual submission. When Pastor Chelsea has a check in her spirit about something, not a, I don't want to do this. In my flesh, I don't want to do this. whenever there's a check in her spirit, you better believe. I go, okay, we're not going to do this. We're not going to take that step. We're not going to do that right now. And same vice versa. Point being this, sometimes it can look like your spouse saying, I don't feel good about this, babe. Like, there's something that just, it's not right. Let's pray about it some more. Some of you might be a phone call. Maybe a friend calls you out of the blue. Right, as you're about to go do something, calls you. There's your opportunity. There's your opportunity for understand what I say this, escape. There's your opportunity for listening to revelation. It's not always going to necessarily show up in the way of Joseph, son of David. Sometimes it's going to be a still small voice, the whisper that you just sense in your spirit. Sometimes it might be a message. Sometimes it might be something else. The Lord speaks in all different kinds of ways. It might be a dream that God gives you. I believe he speaks in dreams. We see that in Scripture, so we can't discount that he definitely speaks in dreams. So there's different ways that the Lord, maybe it looks like not getting that job that you were hoping you get. Because maybe you weren't quite in a place spiritually mature enough to be in that environment. So God said, no, not right now. You ain't ready. Maybe it looks like not getting the promotion you were praying for because he's waiting for you to be obedient with the finances you have right now. Pastor, don't talk about that. Jesus talked about money all the time. Anyways, hear me. I believe that oftentimes God can use, we believe he can use all things for our good, right? So I believe that even in unknown moments, he can use it for our good. And this way he does, he breaks our own understanding so it can build our obedience. Meaning this, that he chips away at what we think we can fully comprehend and where we're trying to make things happen. And he says, listen, no, let's build some obedience in this moment. Let's learn how to obey the voice of the Lord. So Joseph thought he needed clarity. God needed to build obedience. Hear me. Clarity is good. Obedience is better. Joseph wanted answers. God wanted surrender. Joseph wanted understanding. God wanted trust. This is spiritual formation. This is spiritual. This is the artist coming and actually forming the clay in this moment. This is what this looks like. Where he's saying, "Hold on, I'm going to form this now. We're going to fashion this moment." So God can often allow the unknown not to punish you, but to train you in your obedience. Meaning that he's not bringing the unknown, but from the unknown, he's birthing obedience within you. Because obedience grows in places where understanding fails. Think about that for a second. Obedience grows in places where understanding fails. You don't believe me? I'll give it to you. How many got kids in this room? Now, how many be honest? Maybe your kids are sitting with you today and you I can't lift my hand right now. Do it anyways. How many be honest, say, you've told your kids before, hey, go clean your room. And this was the first question. Not yes, ma'am. Not yes, sir. Why? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I got three boys. 11, 9, and 8. I heard it. Why? There's a kid in here. I heard it. Yeah. Or maybe a man with a really high-pitched voice. Why? Right? They ask why. Because they don't go in their room and see all the mess that you see. They see the room. Organized chaos. Right? Some of you are like, Pastor, you're talking about my room this morning, okay? Ladies, you're talking about my bathroom vanity. Anyway, we won't go there, right? Okay. I'm gonna step back up here. I feel safer. Hear me. That is a failure of understanding in that moment whenever you tell your kids, go clean their room, and they ask why, it's because they don't see what you see. And so now their obedience has to grow from a place I'm not understanding. So now you have a conversation with your kids, right? Now you are Joseph, son of David. This is what this looks like. Son of Micah. Because your room is a mess. You can't even get in your bed because there's so many plushies. surrounding your bed. So go clean it up. And now I have revealed to my son what he didn't see, even though he could see it, but you know what I mean. Kid brain happens, okay? Your brain happens sometimes too. Now from the place where understanding has failed, there's opportunity for obedience to grow. Now, balance it with this. Obedience comes from a place of trust, right? Listen, please understand why I'm about to say this. If my wife, even if she didn't ask me, she tells me, babe, go take out the trash. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up and take out the trash. So you hear that? Here's the thing. Because I trust her. She's not asking me to go do something that's going to hurt me. I trust her. So because there's mutual trust, if she asks something of me, then I am going to, understand why I say this, go do that thing. Be obedient too. If it's not going to hurt me, I can trust her in that way. Hear me today. Partly, I believe the reason that we feel so lost in the unknown is because we don't really trust the one who is calling us to go do these things. We say we do with our lips, but we don't with our heart. We give the lip service. We talk about these things, but we don't. I got to come to a close. I just realized what time it is. We talk about these things, but we don't actually really follow through with these things often. So hear me today. I'm going to say this once again, that obedience grows in places where understanding might fail. God does not remove the hard part. He reveals himself in it. Hear me. The angel does not say, Joseph, it's about to get a lot easier. Because guess what? The consequences of being with a woman were still the same. Being with a woman that was pregnant and they had not been together that way, consequences were actually still the same. But God doesn't say, okay, I'm going to take you out of this situation. The angel actually just says, hey, this situation is actually a lot bigger deal than what you think it is. This is going to be public. Okay? He doesn't lift Joseph out of difficulty. He joins Joseph in it and gives him revelation, knowledge, and understanding of what is to come. But even with, we'll talk some about this next week. Even with that, the understanding's limited. If you read that, it's like very, very short explanation of what's about to take place. Hey, you'll bring forth the son, she'll bring forth the son and call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins. And by the way, there's already been prophecies about this. That's literally all the angel of the Lord says right there. And this says, you know, his name's going to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's all he says. He doesn't tell him about the fact that King Herod's going to try to kill Jesus. He doesn't tell him about the fact that you're going to go to the inn and guess what? There's going to be no place there. He doesn't tell them about the rides that they're going to have to take and how long it's going to take and all these different unknowns that are in it. They're still unknowns even in the answer. Yeah. See, some of you know where God's calling you to, but you don't know all the in-betweens and you've thrown in the towel and you've given up because you know where you're supposed to go, but it doesn't feel like that's where you're going. We'll talk some about this next week, how things often look different than the way we dream. So what do we do when we find ourselves in those moments? Hear me. Joseph still has to stay with Mary. Walk through misunderstanding. Endure the whispers. Stand in tension. Explain things he cannot fully explain. And really live inside of a mystery. Think about that for a second. He still has to do these things. So write this down. Being unshaken does not mean the situation gets easier. It means your spirit stops collapsing under it. I'm going to end with this thought today. Joseph is in the middle of the unknown here. He's planning his exit. He's overwhelmed. The angel of the Lord appears, speaks. But right there in that moment where the angel of the Lord shows up, notice the angel of the Lord does not show up before the confusion, before the unknown situation. Angel of the Lord doesn't show up before the panic. Angel of the Lord does not show up before the internal conflict. Where does the angel of the Lord show up? Right there in the middle of it. Because revelation is rarely what God gives you before the unknown. Revelation is what God gives you often in the unknown. Okay? This is whenever he shows up and speaks to you. This is, oftentimes it doesn't come, he doesn't come speaking to you, and this is what you're, listen, Pastor Chelsea and I never thought we'd be pastoring in Crestview. Okay? We were kids pastors for a decade. Youth pastors for like 5 or 6 years. Associate pastors. We did all these things. And at one point in time, we were in that unknown phase. I mean, I don't know what's next, but something feels off. Something doesn't feel right. Something feels transition. So there's something happening. And the truth is this. I'm going to be honest in the church. I had thoughts of taking turns. I'll go this way. I'll go that way. I'll go do this. But angel Lord never showed up. But what we did do is we reached out for counsel in the midst of unknown. Let me tell you, find some righteous counsel in your life. Reach out to counsel. You know what they told us? Stay where you are. Keep doing what you're doing. Be obedient. Thanks. That's really what I wanted to hear right now. Really appreciate that. Makes me feel great. See, because then later on, even just this last year, that same couple we sat down with, and they looked at us and said, I got to tell you something. I'm like, oh boy. Said, we felt then by the Spirit of the Lord that this was coming, but we knew that the Lord did not give us the green light to tell you that. See, because sometimes even in the midst of all these things, when God knows the end from the beginning, all these things, it is still his mercy that is still, understand what I say, this withholding some information so that you will faithfully trust him. And so that way, whenever it does happen, you go, man, this couldn't have been anything but a God thing. I can't take any credit for this. Nobody else can take any credit for this. This is nothing but God. So God doesn't show up before the panic, right there in the middle of it. Y'all still with me? I promise you, I'm going to close. Revelation, once again, it's rarely brought forth before the unknown situations. It's when we're in the middle of it. And what's the angel Lord say? Joseph, son of David. God calls Joseph in that moment what he forgot he carried. Joseph forgot who he was. Joseph forgot his lineage, son of David, generational line. Joseph forgot his purpose. Joseph forgot his prophetic promise over his family line that's been prophesied for generations now. Joseph forgot that he's standing inside a story that God started generations ago. And the unknown made Joseph forget who he is. This is what the unknown will often do to us, is it will distort our identity by the flesh, but revelation comes and restores what confusion tried to steal. So God did not give Joseph new information. God reminded Joseph of who he already was. Think about it. The angel of the Lord says, this has already been prophesied about. This has already been spoken about. Why are you freaking out right now? Your revelation does not always come as something new. Sometimes you just need to hear it again. Some of y'all come up for new, see, in the prophetic church, people come up for a new prophetic word every single week. You know, I don't like that one. Give me a new one. God's like, you didn't obey the first one. Here it is again. Here it is again. Here it is again. Sometimes it doesn't come as a new revelation. Sometimes, in the midst of the unknown, you just need to hear the same thing again and be built up. This is why the scripture says to war a good warfare with the word that has come over you, is because there's going to be times in your life that you're going to feel like you're in the unknown, in the trenches, and what you need is a weapon, a prophetic word, a word that the Lord's already spoken over you to war with, to move forward, because sometimes God reveals something the old you forgot. And revelation brings Joseph back to himself, back to the calling, back to his assignment, back to his stability, back to truth, back to who God said he was. And this is what God does in your unknown as well. Pastor Donald, will you come play? Some of you in this room, I believe you're in a Joseph season. You feel like you've been there and you didn't plan for what's happening right now. You didn't expect it. You may know what's coming up, but you did not plan for where you are right now. Everything was supposed to look different right now. And you're holding something maybe you don't understand. And you're tempted to take control, tempted to fix everything yourself. Tempted to withdraw, tempted to go back to some old ways, tempted to walk away, tempted to bring out your own outcome. But hear me, do not separate from the place God has called you because the unknown scared you. Do not separate from where God's called you because unknown scares you. But also hear this today, the unknown's not your enemy. It can be a beautiful environment where God reveals himself and speaks to you. And today, I believe I'm here to remind you of who you are, just like the angel of the Lord came, showed up, Joseph, son of David. I'm here to remind you, Pastor Francis, child of the Most High God, joint heir with Christ, that's who you are. Pastor Newland, unknown situations doesn't change your identity. You're a child of God. I'm here to remind you of what your identity is. Pastor Andy, child of God. Mr. Russ, child of God. Dylan back there in the media, child of God. It's a reminder that in the midst of unknowns, I pray that this is a message for you today, that you understand that in the midst of the unknown, I'm still known. I'm still a child of God. I still have the same. My identity did not change. I'm unshaken in my identity and who I am in Christ. I am His beloved. I am healed. I am delivered. I am restored. I am free. I may not be living in that right now, but I know that this is who I am, and the unknown doesn't shake me. And even whenever I think you are nowhere, God, you said you are now here. See, even the scripture says it, that He is a man. Emmanuel. Think about this for a second. Stand up to your feet. Stand up for you. Think about this for a second before I pray over you. Think about this. Even in the scripture, what God does is what the angel of the Lord does here is He reveals to Joseph in the midst of his pain, in the midst of the unknown, what's He say? And his name shall be called Emmanuel. He's giving Joseph a promise that even in the midst of this trial and situation, even in the midst of what feels unknown and uncertain, even in the midst of what feels like nowhere, Emmanuel, God with us, is who will be with you. That's your promise to hold on to today, that in the midst of where you're at, you could be in the middle of nowhere, but He's now here. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And that helps us live an unshaken life. Your spirit does not have to be shaken by unknown seasons. And not because you don't understand the plan, but rather because you trust the one who's leading you through that area of your life. Amen. Will you lift your hands to the Lord? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your people. I thank you for this word. Let it be life and edification to them today. Lord, I thank you and uplift every single person in this room that may feel like they're in the midst of unknown situations and there's questions abounding everywhere. I thank you, Lord, that you give them the faith to trust and believe again. That where they've been putting questions on everything, Lord, help them put an exclamation point of, this I know. This is who I know God's called me to be. This is what I know He's calling me to do right now, so I'll just be faithful and obedient right here. Help us in that, Holy Spirit. We can't do it by ourselves. So, Holy Spirit, be the helper for us. God, we thank you right now that this word does not return void, but it accomplishes everything that you set it out to do today. So God, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for what you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do. In Jesus' name.